Talk Central is brought to you by BlackBerry.
Hi, this is Diplo. I'm just out there mixing ideas and mixing up different genres. I can't believe that people are actually paying me to travel across the world and build new sounds, different artists. The BlackBerry Torch makes it simple because I'm always staying in touch with everybody, whether it's using Twitter applications or Facebook. A lot of these guys, I have a closer relationship now because I'm constantly on BBM talking to them.
Pop.
I love what I do. And a BlackBerry Torch helps me do it.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan.
Special guest in the studio this week, Simon Dingle.
From Hello.
The ZA Tech Show, our sister podcast. How are you doing?
Fine, and you, Duncan?
Great. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Anytime.
Great. Simon, the big plans for the ZA Tech Show coming up soon. Tell us a little bit more about what you've got in store for the podcast.
Yeah, we're essentially relaunching the show. It's been a very busy almost 2 years since we started with the ZA Tech Show. Of course, you know, you were there since the beginning.
Yeah.
Quite instrumental in us starting it all up. And we've had a lot of fun, and we've kind of turned it into a business despite ourselves. So we are relaunching it now. We've had sponsorship from Seacom, so with their help, as well as BlackBerry that's come on board, our friends at Internet Solutions, as well as Vodacom, who you usually wouldn't see involved in something involving each other. But they've all helped us to take the show to the next level. And then also our friends at Quirk, who have helped us with a new website. So we're launching a new website. We are going HD with our video to an extent, and starting to experiment with that medium instead of just audio. And then we've got new studios and a lot of bandwidth thanks to our friends at Vodacom. So,
what sort of pipe are you going to be streaming this video across?
They sort of look away when we ask them exactly how big this pipe is. So I've heard everything from 50 gigabits per second to on local bandwidth to, I don't know, more than we need, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. So the show is actually going to stream in HD, or is it going to be recorded in HD?
We'll have HD recordings, and we're not sure what we're going to do with them yet, but I think streaming it in HD is beyond the means of most of our viewers at the moment, even internationally.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I remember when ZA Tech Show started in Brett Haggard's offices in Santon. Yeah. It must have been about 3 years ago now.
I think it's less than that.
Is it less than that?
We are on episode 150. So yeah, you're right.
It must be about 3 years now.
Goodness gracious.
Coming up to 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a long time for a podcast to be.
It has been a long time. Yeah. I was sitting around on crates with microphones, balancing on paint and drinking beer and talking about technology. So yeah, we've persisted. I think the interesting thing with the ZA Tech Show, what it's taught us about online broadcasting and maybe online content in general, is that you need some patience. You know, it's so easy to get something online that you tend to think that that the uptake will be quick as well. You think everything will be instantaneous because it's online. Mm. And I was actually chatting to somebody in Cisco and as well as Gartner, and they said, look, that's online. You have to take a while to build content. I'm sure you've seen it with Tech Central as well.
Yeah, it absolutely.
You know, you build a body of content and the traffic starts coming, but it doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't.
It takes a long time to build that head of steam and start getting that audience. So
yeah. And I mean, the more content you have online, the more you're found through search engines like Google.
Yeah.
So the longer you're online, the more you tend to just attract natural traffic through through Google and other search engines.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
I mean,
it's a slow process and you just have to keep at it.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a 2-year process for us before we really started to see the kind of listener numbers that would interest a sponsor or an advertiser.
Mm.
And 2 years is a long time in the world of online.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're there now.
Great. So, Simon, tell us a bit about you. I mean, ZA Tech Show is a small part of what you do. You're also a technology editor at Finweek magazine.
That's right, yeah.
And you've got various other things on the go. Tell us a bit about those.
Well, I suppose the other thing, aside from what you mentioned, is my show on 5FM, which is a very consumer-focused technology talk show. And we basically talk about whatever's topical from a consumer perspective. And then take questions on the show. And we launched that about a year ago now on 5FM, and it's taken off quite nicely.
When is the show? When is it on?
It's on Thursdays at 2 o'clock Central Africa time. And it streams live at 5fm.co.za if you're not in range of 5FM's FM transmitters. And it's been good fun. Yeah, I think they took a little bit of a leap of faith, but it just so happens that that kind of content seems to be in demand at the moment, and the numbers for the show are very good.
Yeah,
it's embedded in Grant and Anele's lunch show on 5FM. So far so good. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge surge in interest in technology in the consumer space.
Certainly, I've had another radio station approach me and ask me if I know of any technology journalists interested in doing a show. I know our friend Brett Taggart from Hypertext Media Communications. He's got a show now that's syndicated on a couple of radio stations, including Kaya FM in Johannesburg. So there's a lot of interest in consumer technology at the moment. And I think it's really just this move to gadgets that are appliances, computing gadgets that are very accessible, that people aren't scared of messing around with.
Tablets and smartphones and all this sort of thing. Whereas before, consumers just had a cell phone that could make calls. Now they've got this thing that can do all sorts of cool stuff, and they want to know more about it. And
I think it's similar to the car market. You know, people, everybody talks about cars, but they don't talk about the engines and the turbos and the, you know, the fuel injections. They talk about cars at a very sort of high level. They like it because of the interior and some features it has and the way it looks. But everybody has an interest in cars, whether they have an enthusiast knowledge of it or not. And I think technology is starting to enter the same sort of era.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's get on to this week's big news. Candice, you've been doing some digging around the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority. I think over the last few months, there's been a growing war between the South Africa cell phone companies throwing mud at each other just about every week over different advertising claims and slogans, etc. But really, quite an interesting ruling out of the ASA a bit earlier this week related to Vodafone, Vodacom and Cell C, related to a complaint lodged by Vodafone about Cell C's use of the slogan Power to You. And it may have given us some insight into Vodafone's, or Vodacom's rather, upcoming rebranding, which we're expecting, what, by the end of this quarter?
As far as we know, we're expecting it by April at the latest. So hopefully that will come through. But it definitely looks that as though Vodacom will probably take on its parent company's colouring and the new slogan.
So Vodacom going red.
Yes. Well, we did speak to Peter S. about that at the company's financial results presentation or conference call a few days ago. And he wouldn't confirm it or deny it. But he said definitely the new branding will come through by April. So, but the interesting thing is that Vodafone did launch this Power to You campaign across many of its businesses across the world. As you know, it's one of the largest mobile operators in the world, and it never actually got to South Africa except for a couple of billboards at the airport, but it was for Vodafone and not for Vodacom. And Cell C's use of the Power to You slogan was in an ad in December, I think one TV ad in December, which is kind of a spin-off of its actual slogan, which is the power is in your hands. And apparently Vodafone took exception, and I don't think it would have done that quite as strongly as it has if it wasn't planning on using it for Vodacom.
Using that as the payoff line for Vodacom when they relaunch their whole branding campaign.
Yes. Well, I know that Vodacom has put away 200 million for the next quarter. So
now for advertising around this.
For rebranding and what they're saying for improving the customer experience.
I wonder what the benefit will be to Vodacom customers if Vodacom essentially becomes Vodafone South Africa, which it is already for all intent and purpose. But if the sort of a more sort of solid integration into Vodafone will have any tangible benefits for customers.
Well, I honestly think that's why Vodacom has been very quiet over the last few months. I think that integration is happening now, and that integration needs to speed up now because the company really needs to catch up with its competitors in terms of quality and you know, delivery. Even the pricing in the market, which we were looking at this morning, thanks to the launch of Ata's iPad data deals, you know, their data pricing is way above everybody else's.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, there's almost a perception that if you think about Vodacom and you think, what is Vodacom's payoff line? You can't, can you think what it is?
It used to be SA's leading cellular network, remember?
Long time ago.
Yes, long time ago.
And then they used the Yebo Gogo and then Yebo Yes.
I couldn't tell you what it is at the moment.
No,
I don't know.
That's an interesting point. So I think they're going to, this Power to You, I think this is going to be the key, and they're going to hammer that message home. I mean, with Cell C, we all know it's a power in your hands. and everyone associates it with Trevor Noah. MTN is a Yoba, which I mean,
that brand is just huge.
and
Eta is hater or hello.
But when you think of Vodacom, you don't really think of a slogan at the
yeah.
So they, you know, I think they do need to come into the market with something quite aggressively and just kind of maybe even reclaim some lost ground in the marketing battles.
I think so. You know, they've got the pocket for it at the moment. Mm. They really should use it, as we saw in their presentation this week. You know, they're strong figures at the moment.
Yeah.
Good data growth, but they now really need to put you know, the muscle behind their marketing.
I wonder what this means for the management at Vodacom. I wonder if Shamil Jessup being repositioned within the larger group wasn't perhaps symptomatic of restructuring that's happening at a local level for their management.
Yeah, I do wonder if they're going to bring more Vodafone executives into the South African operation. Maybe the Vodacom South Africa position will go to a Vodafone executive.
Or maybe somebody like Peter Ace drops down to a country level and Vodafone takes over. Well, that would be a bit of an extreme move, wouldn't it?
It would. There's been a lot of speculation that Vodafone wants to put its own man in at the group CEO level at Vodacom. But, you know, Peter seems to be doing a good job. The latest set of results look pretty good, especially in the South African market.
Well, he's had three quarters of good results now, if I remember correctly. Mm. And he's been doing a lot of good things at Vodacom.
The share price has been booming over the last 6 months or so.
Mm.
So if Vodafone does want to put its own man in there, it's going to be difficult to justify it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and in terms of the name Vodacom, do you think it's going to become Vodafone, or do you think they'll take the Vodafone slogan and keep the Vodacom brand? Or
my guess is that they're edging towards that. The Vodacom brand has a lot of brand equity.
Yes.
So I think that's why they're not ditching it immediately. But I would expect two or three years from now, once Vodacom is red and they're using the Vodafone payoff line, etc., that at maybe 2-3 years from now they'll ditch the Vodacom name in favor of the Vodafone name. Quite interestingly, I talked to a lot of people in the industry, and people quite often make the mistake now of calling Vodacom Vodafone. The words have become almost interchangeable.
Mm.
I talk to executives and they say, "Oh, over at Vodafone," and when they mean Vodacom.
Yeah, although if you're a customer sort of on a continental level, like DHL is, for example, you would have been dealing with a Vodafone, I suppose. Vodacom will, you know, be servicing that contract in African territories, but you would have brokered it via Vodafone, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you'll just see that gradual shift over occurring.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is they own 65% of this company now, so I'm sure at some point they're going to want to stamp their brand authority on it.
And at the moment, the brand represents more telcom than anything else.
True.
The blue colouring,
right.
And the name.
That's
and
right.
Blue and green.
So they need to do something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, obviously the first step is this rebranding campaign. And
yeah.
It will probably turn red. So
yeah.
That will be interesting to see.
It will be, yeah. What they do with that big fountain-y thing they've got at the entrance to VodaWorld. I was leaving there after the ZA Tech Show on Monday night. And they've actually done quite an amazing job with these blue and green lights with the water pouring over it.
It's not hard to change the dark colours.
I guess that's going to have to come out or be changed.
Yeah.
Well, while on the subject of Vodacom, they released their third quarter financial update this week. Candice, you looked at it in some detail. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the numbers, Simon, but the South African market, they seem to be doing reasonably well. And in the data market, they're still booming, despite what you referred to earlier being their relatively high data prices relative to certainly Cell C and to some extent MTN.
Well, part of it is the boom in the smartphone. The smartphone market on
device browsing is where they
that's quite a large chunk of it. Another chunk has been from actual data bundles, but I think that they would hope for better uptake in the data bundle market than they've had. But you know, they're really looking strong in terms of their financials in the data side of things, and it's growing, you know, hard and fast, and could possibly be the reason why they're still charging the rates they're charging.
Mm. If people are buying it, why drop your
exactly,
prices?
Exactly,
yeah.
while the sun shines and all that. So they're looking very strong on that side. South Africa, mostly boosted by the data revenues. I think 4.7% growth in all for South Africa.
That was just South Africa revenue growth, but the data revenue, I think, grew by a third.
Yes. 33%. It was very dramatic over the same period last year.
Mm.
And it just carries over from where Vodacom was at their 6 months report, which was in November last year.
Mm.
So one wonders how long they can continue for. I mean, the big question everybody had recently was why Vodacom hasn't reacted to Cell C, for example, with their ultra-low pricing. as you've said, the answer is that they haven't had to.
Yeah.
But one wonders how long that'll continue for.
Well, I think they will have to eventually start dropping the rate. But you have to bear in mind as well that Vodacom and MTN both had to put in a lot of effort and a lot of money to roll out their increased data networks, so their improved data networks.
Well, Cell C is doing investing billions as well. So.
Cell C has, indeed. But Cell C is coming off a low base. They've got less to change, and they can put in a lot more new technologies that's not quite as expensive as upgrading the second-hand technologies. Plus, Vodacom and MTN have put in a lot of fiber, which is also inexpensive and something that you don't get a return on unless you're someone like Dark Fiber Africa. So that's a step that they have to now overcome, regain the investment on those, regain the money in those investments, and then start cutting down the prices.
It's interesting. Whenever I ask Vodacom about it, they always insist that it's their strategy to reduce prices, but that it has nothing to do with competition or regulation. Just, that's what we're going to do for our customers, but it's got nothing to do with the environment.
Yeah, you're right. Pull the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it seems that the bandwidth prices in South Africa do tend to come down in these sort of step changes rather than coming down on a smooth sort of basis. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point during 2011... Vodacom or MTN triggers another step change down, and then one will follow the other.
But well, I think Ata's launch now of the iPad data products that they've just released this morning, I think that might be a good test to see how far the other operators will go down, because they will all have to respond to that. They will have to offer targeted iPad data bundles, and to see if they cut their prices to the extent that that Cell C has or could, it will be interesting. I think that will be the test of how far the operators are willing to go.
I was quite surprised at that Ata announcement about the iPad portal and offering. It's certainly very innovative, but you can't imagine that there are more than, 20,000, 25,000 iPads in South Africa.
I think there's almost a desperation for companies to be associated with the Apple brand, and they almost get kudos here by being the first operator in South Africa to say, well, here's our iPad offering. We were first to market before arrivals,
But in terms of tangible, I mean, as niches go, it's a pretty small one. I can't imagine.
It is. I mean, you can get a SIM card. I mean, you need a micro SIM on the iPad, but you can go to a Vodacom or an MTN shop and just get a iPad micro SIM for your iPad and just use your existing data contract. So
it must be all about marketing, I suppose, as you say, just associating with the Apple brand and with that kind of user.
Every time someone walks into the iStore and someone gets sold an iPad, the salesman can turn around and say, well, would you like data with that? Here's your Ata package.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, that's prepaid only, so you pay upfront for a month's worth of data, so what's going to stop you from moving to another operator a month
when
later?
When you're done.
No,
they should have introduced postpaid contracts at launch.
I don't think that Apple would have allowed them that. I think that's the problem. I think that at the moment,
do you think this deal was done with Apple?
That Apple or its distributors take the iPad to market, and if the operators want to do special bundle deals, then they have to negotiate with either Apple or its distributors. Not like the iPhone where it goes straight via an operator.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't wait for March to see some indication of how Ata's been doing.
Yes, Telkom's results.
Yeah. And that'll be the chance for us to ask them about Ata and their subscriber numbers. Do you think we're in for a surprise?
It's really, really hard to tell. I mean, there are two numbers we've got that are in the market at the moment. The first is the first 30 days of sales, which they announced, where they signed up just under 200,000 customers in the first month.
Amazing.
And the number portability numbers, which we managed to get a copy of, quite confidential numbers, which we leaked to us a couple of weeks ago, which showed that about 1,100 people had switched across using number portability to the Ata network, which is really tiny.
Yeah.
But they are a new operator in the market.
We were in Cape Town last week with Cell C when they launched MyTools, and I was chatting to one of the My Broadband journalists on that trip, and he said that he had an Ata SIM card. And as far as he could tell, it never connected to a Telkom tower. It was on MTN almost exclusively wherever he had tested it.
Yeah, I think they're roaming quite extensively they have been. Apparently, they were roaming almost exclusively on MTN until the end of December. I think they've started to cut over to their own network now, which that must have been quite an expensive proposition for them.
I wonder what that means for MTN as well.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal to have.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the network capacity after spending 12 billion rand in 2 years on their 3G. So.
Yeah. I'm yet to test Ata from a calling perspective, to be honest. They gave me a SIM card and I haven't recut it yet.
No, it's not the same.
Too busy, lazy, / whatever.
Exactly, they're piling up over here, actually. You said, have you signed up for the Red Bull
No, they delivered the package to an address I haven't used for 3 years. I don't have a Red Bull SIM card to try.
Okay.
But I'd like to try it, Aita, and I'd like to speak to people who have tried it out. Apparently, there's still a big shortage in Aita starter packs. You can't find them anywhere. Yeah.
That's interesting. Can't print SIM cards fast enough.
I was speaking to Dimitri at Mustic, and he was saying he had tried to get hold of an Aita starter pack just to try it out, and he couldn't find one anywhere for love or money. And I've since heard from other people who... have emailed me following my radio show, or they got my address from Finweek going, do you know where we can get hold of Aita starter pack, because we can't find them. So they're either selling out, or they didn't have enough, or perhaps it seems that they've hit all the right retail points. So I'm not sure what the problem is or how big the problem is. Sometimes you hear from five or six readers and you think that's, you know, the norm, and it just turns out there are five or six people who couldn't find it. But, you know, that was the impression I got, was that there was some shortage of their starter packs.
Interesting. Well, they must have microSIMs now that they're doing data products on the iPad.
Certainly, if they're servicing the iPad. I think all the networks have got microSIMs now. I know somebody who got one on Virgin Mobile as well.
Oh, really? So. Oh, right. Okay, so they're just generally available in the market.
It's probably just a Cell C SIM.
Oh, it probably is. Good. Great. I think let's take a break at that point. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing, from Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers. The internet. To put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN. Lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones and special guest Simon Dingle. Neotel, more interesting developments on that front this week. Corporate reshuffling. We know that Ajay Pandey is on his way out, returning to his native India. He'd basically started up the Neotel operation here in South Africa and built it up to a 1,000-strong employee company. We know that they are facing some challenges at the moment, and this week, shake-up at management level with Stefano Mattiello, the Chief Sales and Customer Service Officer, being redeployed in the Chief Sales and Marketing position. Jackie Humphreys, the Chief Marketing Officer, moving on from the company, and Tracy Cohen being promoted. She was the Executive Head of Regulatory Affairs and is now the Chief Corporate Services Officer, amongst one or two other changes at the company. Simon, do you have much interaction with Neotel? What do you make of what's going on at the company and its potential in this market?
I don't know about you guys, but I've always found Neotel a very difficult company to deal with from a media perspective. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. When they have something to talk about, then they're very easy to talk to. But in the months in between, I found it quite difficult to engage with them, to be honest. I get a sort of a mixed bag feeling from Neotel. I've spoken to some of their medium-sized customers who are thrilled with what they're getting from Neotel. I've spoken to others who say it's an absolute disaster. I've spoken to some of their competitors who don't think that Neotel has a sustainable take on the market, that they're undercutting things too severely to try and get fiber into sort of corporate developments, and that it's not sustainable because the guys who know what these things cost just can't see how it would make any business sense to do it, even if you do see a long-term play. So, I mean, it's also a private company, so there's only so much you can ask them about, you know, their performance.
Although now they're now that Tata Communications has a majority stake in them, yes. Because Tata's listed in the US, they have to, by a Securities and Exchange Commission rules, compel them to publish Neotel's annual report. So we actually do have quite some interesting insight now, which we didn't have before, into how they're doing.
Yeah, and we saw revenues at one stage last year looking pretty good. Of course, this year
it was the revenue line, the top line, has been growing at a phenomenal rate. It's the mounting losses, I think,
exactly.
Which yeah.
So I honestly don't know what to say about Neotel at this moment in time. I don't think it's turned out to be anything even remotely resembling what we thought the SNO would be when that license was first announced.
They've gone off to the corporate market, and they seem to have cherry-picked in the corporate space and neglected the consumer market.
Sure, and they get very angry when you say that.
They do.
they say that the consumer market is on track and that they've done everything they've planned to do with consumers. But the fact is that they haven't changed the life for consumers in South Africa, which I think those were the exact words of the minister at the time that the SNO license was announced. They were also quite sneaky when they introduced some new consumer contracts last year. They kind of used that to overshadow the fact that they had cancelled a lot of the entry-level contracts.
Oh, that's right.
so they're going for a more sort of lucrative consumer customer as well. I do not know of a single consumer customer who's been delighted by Neotel service. Without exception, everybody I know who's tried out the Neotel consumer offering has either ditched it or had a massive billing problem or is trying to get out of their contract with Neotel. It really seems to be in the medium to corporate customer space that you find happy Neotel customers.
Mm. They have done well in that space. They've worked very hard in that space to do well.
Yes, they have. And in the wholesale market, of course, they're strong because they land the Seacom cable here in Johannesburg, and they invested in all these undersea cables, so they provide a lot of services to internet service providers and the like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult company to compete with if you're a Vox or an Altec or a I mean, the deep pockets they have back in India, and who clearly see this as a very long term play and are willing to throw a lot of money at it for a long time before they start seeing profits. It's a nightmare of a company for any of our South African guys to compete against, I think.
I think that they need to solidify now. I think they need to find a direction, pick it, and run with it. For the last year, it feels like they haven't had a solidified strategy or something to follow, and I think that they need to do that now. And perhaps the new leadership will help do that.
I think his name is Sunil Joshi, the Tata Communications executive, who's been appointed to replace Ajay Pandey as the CEO of Neotel.
Yeah.
Just talking to, he's in town this week, and he's been interfacing with the Neotel staff. And just talking to my sources at Neotel, they're raving about this guy. They say he is the energizer bunny. Apparently, he's up at 4 or 5 every morning, running on the treadmill. He's on the phone, but 6 and
that's what they need.
And just driving. I think there was a perception perhaps that that Ajay Pandey wasn't dynamic enough to be running a company which is effectively a large startup.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can see the difference that the dynamism of someone like Lars Reichelt has done for Cell C. If they could get the same kind of enthusiasm driven throughout the corporate culture of Neotel, I think they could do really well.
Yeah. I liked AJ, but I didn't find him terribly inspiring, and I can't imagine his staff would have perhaps either. He was sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Almost reserved, you know.
Yeah. And some say, some people at Neotel say he was quite indecisive. He'd take months to make a decision and hum and haw about it.
That's definitely not what they need.
Yeah. So hopefully they've got the right guy now, and I don't know. Maybe the sort of focus of all the cellular operators to become these sort of more broadly focused telecommunications operators. Maybe at some point we'll see some sort of merger between Cell C and Neotel. Maybe Tata Communications will buy Cell C at some point.
That's a definite possibility. But I think that Cell C's current shareholders will ride it out for as long as possible.
Yeah, well, if they get the right offer, I mean,
I wonder if this isn't something that Airtel would consider, Bharti Airtel.
I'm sure Airtel would love to be in this market. Although they probably want to bed down their Zain acquisition before.
Yeah, they've got a lot of work to do in Nigeria and Kenya and elsewhere.
Although it looks like they are doing a little bit better. It looks like their African operations are showing solid growth. I was just looking at their third quarter results as well.
This is Airtel?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're showing some solid growth in the African markets, whereas some of the other markets are sort of stagnating. Mm. So that's encouraging for them.
Well, they're bringing in the sort of Indian low-cost model of just slashing prices and buying market share. I mean, you're certainly seeing that happening in India, where the price of a cellular phone call has dropped to about 8 South African cents a minute.
Well, Kenya is not far behind.
Carnage in Kenya.
That's what I mean, Kenya. I mean, Kenya. What did I say?
India.
Oh, India.
Which is also true.
It's already happened in India. Yeah. No, it's carnage in Kenya. I mean, you talk to Bob Collymore, who runs Safaricom, which is by far the biggest operator there, and he's really worried about the situation.
He chose a very interesting time to come on board.
Frying pan into the fire, indeed.
But I mean, back in South Africa, things are kind of coming to a head this year with the networks becoming more self-sufficient. The national links for Neotel, MTN and Vodacom being completed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about shared infrastructure. From what I understand, they're basically sharing a hole in the ground between you and Cape Town. It's just really the trenches that they're sharing.
Pretty much.
But those links will come online, and that'll sort of close off these national loops for MTN and Vodacom and Neotel. And then WAC's coming online later this year. Easy is now starting to become available. And it really seems like things are coming to a head this year. And as you said, Candice, Neotel really needs somebody who can now take things to the next level, I guess.
Absolutely.
Cool. Let's talk a bit about Neotel's rival, Telkom. More dossiers, more drama, more politics. I see they went on a preemptive strike earlier this week, putting out a statement saying that there's a new dossier doing the rounds, making allegations against senior management about corporate governance lapses, etc., etc. This is, I don't know, the fourth or fifth such dossier, and they're suggesting in the statement that it's people working in the background who want to engineer their way into the CEO position. But you know, this company just seems to stumble from one calamity to another, and well, the new chairman should be announced in the next week, and the new CEO as well. So hopefully, in the next couple of months, so hopefully the situation is going to start to get turned around there. I think operationally, Telkom is actually being quite well run
at the moment. Yes,
I mean, I don't know if you've found a Telkom call center lately, but they answer almost immediately. It's amazing. And I attribute that to the work that Pinky Moholy's doing as the managing director of Telkom South Africa. She's actually doing a really good job there and turning this organization around. But at the group level, it's a disaster.
But I do pity Pinky Moholy, because at the moment she's sitting in a situation where she is trying to put her head down. She is trying to turn this company around, and she is trying to get it right. And then from left field, these accusations are flying around by people who refuse to put their name to these dossiers. And I think that if you've got accusations to make, then put your face to it. Stand by your accusations. Stand by your statement.
I'm also very disappointed in readers, frankly, in South Africans that just take these accusations at face value. And you know, there are a lot of reasons for it. Our politics are very corrupt in South Africa. But we've reached the situation where any hint of corruption, we just believe. You know, I wrote a column about the leadership at Telkom for Fin24. And I said, you know, I sympathize with Pinky, and I think she's the classiest option for the job. She really is amazing at getting things done. And the comments and the vitriol below, but she was involved in this and that. And guys, she wasn't. It was, you know, those accusations were completely fallacious. If you had bothered to pay any attention to that dossier, it was the biggest load of crap, you know. But just any, and that you realize the damage that this kind of thing does.
It's massively damaging, yeah. And unfortunately, it's politics. It's
people exactly what it is.
People who think they can work behind the scenes, lobbying ANC politicians, lobbying the president, lobbying whoever they can to try and get themselves into positions of power.
And Telkom is slightly more susceptible to it because of its government shareholding.
Exactly, and the fact that well, this is going to be the last time that government gets to appoint the chairman and the CEO. So perhaps the mudslinging or the backstabbing in the background is worse than usual.
That's the one disappointment I've had with Roy Padiachi so far, was his take on Telkom and his belief that government should continue to meddle in its affairs. I mean, you don't really want to go down the list of examples, but it's the SABC and it's SAA and it's Centec. And I mean, there isn't an example of a parastatal run successfully, and yet this still seems to be government's opinion, is that they should be involved in Telkom, and that, you know, maybe nationalization of mines one day is a good idea. And I don't know where that kind of inept logic comes from.
It's socialist ideology.
Yeah.
It's socialism.
Yeah.
They should be getting out of these businesses and freeing them up and bringing in competition and allowing them to compete and deliver services to consumers. But
I think as a privately run business, Telkom could also do very well. And also with the proper leadership, it could really excel. I mean, it's got all the infrastructure that it needs.
Oh, great assets.
It's got a new mobile operator. It's got all the skills, almost all the skills in South Africa in the mobile space or in the entire telecommunication space has sometime been through Telkom.
Hmm.
These guys have everything they need to do it well. All they need now is a proper leadership structure and privatization.
What always amazes me is how well some companies do when they have nobody running them. you see, there are a handful of examples of companies that just sort of take off and things continue and they have no leader. And then you kind of realize that this fixation we have on CEOs is sometimes not entirely justified. There are a lot of other people doing things within the company.
It's certainly the case in politics. I'm a firm believer that the less government is involved, the better.
Well, totally. And I think somebody like Pinky Moholi, who's quite competent on her own, probably does better without somebody telling her what to do then.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm not sure she wants that job. I mean,
who would
you want it? I mean, you're going to go in there. There's a very good chance your name is going to get dragged through the mud and your image is going to be irreparably harmed.
The only kind of person who would do that job is somebody who's happy with making like 6 bar in as many months. And then retiring somewhere in South America with their money and getting the hell out.
Any competent CEO that takes on that job, kudos, because that's going to be hard.
Well, I think Jeffrey Hedberg is a particular kind of CEO that thrives with the challenge of turning things around. He tried to do it at CellC. He tried to do it at
He
did a great job at CellC.
Yeah. He did a good job at CellC.
And, you know, Multilinks is as big as challenges get.
I think Multilinks may have been unrescuable.
Yeah.
I also don't think he had enough time there. I think he was only there for a few less than a year, I think.
6 months, I think, yeah.
But you don't get a lot of CEOs who thrive in that kind of environment who want that challenge of turning things around and taking, you know, something that's failing miserably and turning it into a big success.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey's an exception. He's the kind of guy who thrives on that, and Lars Reichelt is clearly another. But But to attract one of those guys to Telkom at the moment, I just don't see it happening.
Mm. Right, we're almost out of time. I think just lastly this week, I'd like to chat a little bit about Vox's new annual report, Vox Telecom. That's something I look forward to every year around this time when they put out this report. They base their annual report on a popular magazine. In previous years, they've done National Geographic, Sports Illustrated, The Economist, and Time magazine. And this year they've done Stuff magazine, the Gadgets magazine, edited by our friend Toby Shapshak. And you've just had a look at it now, Simon.
I was completely fooled. I thought it was Stuff magazine. And then I saw the Vox logo, it said Vox Stuff, and I thought, have they sponsored a copy of Stuff?
Well, it's really cool. They've got all the directors of Vox Telecom inside in this double page spread playing Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
You know, Doug Reed, the managing director with the Guitar Hero guitar sort of slung over his shoulder, and some of the guys like singing into the mic, and don't even mark in the CEO mixing it up on the mixing desk. really kudos to them. I'm not sure your Anglo-American could ever do an annual report like that, or one of the big banks, but they're a smaller player in the telecom space, and they're trying to project this image of being a more fun company, and I think it works well for them.
They are somewhat contrarians, maybe the wrong word, but Vox does things differently. I like their style. I mean, they insist on staying on the old techs. They're not on the main board of the JSE, and they've been big enough, and they are big enough to perhaps make that transition, but they like where they are, and they like what it says about them, that they dominate the old techs board, and they just they do things differently.
Mm.
Do you think they'll keep up the annual report magazine subscription if they delist?
Well, I don't know if that'd be required to, but
I hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do, because it really is fun, and
it is,
I do look forward to reading it.
No, there's a lot of speculation at the moment that they're trading under a cautionary, and the talk is that they are planning to delist from the exchange.
They've been under cautionary now for, 5 months or something?
Mm.
It's been a long time. They've just been reissuing the cautionary every time it comes up.
Their AGM is coming up soon, so maybe there'll be some news of that.
It would be a pity to see them delist.
It would. I mean, we're losing a lot of companies on the JSE. We lost Didata last year, and Spacecom is disappearing because of the acquisition by Jasco.
Mustek
is being delisted. It's quite a long list.
Teddy Masters as well.
That's right.
So there's a lot of guys that are leaving.
Mm.
So the IT sector on the bourse is getting smaller and smaller.
Mm.
And especially Vox, who's managed to turn the corner quite nicely. There was a lot of concern, of course, in there, that they lose the market changes that impacted on their LCR business, their least cost routing business, would kind of sink them. And I'm quite impressed with A, how transparent they were at the time. Mm. I spoke to Tony Vermaken and he said, look, it's going to be tough. We've got a strategy. It's going to take 2 or 3 years. They were just very open about it. And we're now seeing that strategy work. The introduction of the Crystal Vox offering and moving the old Orion LCR customers over onto the new solution. I think they said they've moved about 40% of the customer base over onto Crystal.
That's right.
And there's also a good opportunity for them to upsell with new services with Crystal Vox, and they've got their new hosted PBX, for example. And they're doing cool things. They've managed the business very well. And it would be a pity to keep them away from shareholders at large.
Yeah, I think the management there is just very frustrated that the share price it refuses to budge. It just sits around 40 cents.
Yeah, well,
I wonder if that's not a product of the Altex in and of itself.
No, I think it's a product of the investment analysts just writing off Fox because of the cut and termination rates. I don't think they've had that visibility through to the. And they want proof that Crystal Vox product is going to replace the earnings loss that they're going to see
from the
loss in the LCR business. Yeah.
And their gross profit margin is still looking pretty good. Their top line has been impacted, but the profits are still strong.
Mm.
I suppose it doesn't help trading when you're under cautionary for 5 months.
That's true.
Yeah. But if they are delisting, the share price should shoot up, depending on what the offer price is.
Mm.
But they will have to offer some sort of premium I think there's a way, they've got a way of calculating it based on the average share price over a period of time. And it's been averaging around 40 cents, so whatever the premium needs to be to that. To take it off the market.
Yeah, I must be honest, I don't know much about the discussions that are happening behind closed doors at Vox. Outside of what they said in their cautionary, which is nothing at all.
Okay, cool. Great, well, we're out of time. Thanks, Simon, for joining us.
Anytime, thank you.
It's great to have you here, and all the best of luck with the relaunch of the ZA Tech Show website, and I'll be there on Monday.
Cool.
For the launch party, and
I hope so.
I'm sure it'll be fun, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Great. Well, thanks for coming, and Candace, myself, Duncan, thanks for listening to the show, and we will chat to you again next week. Bye-bye.